Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 492, I'm welcoming back to the show the lazy genius, Kendra Adachi.
That's what the plan, this book, teaches you to do, that there are things that you can create for yourself. There are very kind, simple structures where you start small with one thing and you build on them over time and you iterate and you adjust and you notice what's working and you kind of are very human in the process of it because we are not robots. Our lives are not a machine that we build and then we press a big red start button. That is not how this works, but that is how the industry sort of teaches us that it's supposed to work. So if it's not working that way, then you're the problem and you're not the problem.
Kendra is back on the show with her big sister vibes. We love her for that. We also love her for her Change Your Life chicken. If you don't know already, please go Google that. You're welcome. You now have a dinner planned for your week and your kids, your family, everyone's going to be so happy. I told you. So start there. Then she's been on the show twice before. We have those links in the show notes. Fantastic episodes. Today, we're talking about a little light topic, time management. And what's so fantastic is Kendra is a mom to three. She runs a business. She's a podcaster, a speaker. She's an author. She gets the challenges, the heavy mental load, and how we've been handed bad tools. There have only been about 7% of time management books written by women. And so she's here to offer a more gentle, more bendy framework called the PLAN. Yes, PLAN is an acronym. And she has so many tips in the book, y'all. It's a lot of goodness. You're going to want an actual physical copy. I know we do audiobooks these days, but I appreciated the physical copy that I could mark up and go back to and reference. So, so kind. Always full of grace. I love a good conversation with Kendra. Her name fits her so well. Lazy genius. She is a genius about what matters and lazy about what doesn't. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Oh, it's always so fun, Kendra, to be with you. We're singing, we're dancing.
I know, we're having such a good time. I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be here. I always look forward to talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, my brain doesn't work like your brain and I want it to more. And so I love any time I get because it helps me love my brain. You know what
I mean? Yeah, that's right. I do. We don't all need the same brain. What a terrible way to live.
That would be horrible. But I know we're probably the same age, but you give that big sister energy, you know? Mm-hmm. So we love your voice in our ears and on the Instas. But we were laughing before we got on and I'll tell the people because I hate when hosts are like, you know, we were talking earlier. Right. I'm going to tell you all we were talking about, but we were talking something really good. That I was reading your book, making notes, and it just happened to be on the paper that was next to me and I'll hold it off. No one's going to see this, but it says, make it happen, an exclamation point. And yep. It has these three sections. Super important. That's the biggest section. Then do this. Chill. This can wait. There are different sections on the notepad. Mm-hmm. And you said.
Well, I said, you know, I think chill could come sooner. Maybe chill needs to come first. Because make it happen is like a very important, I mean, that phrase is actually something I use in this new book, but it's the last thing. It's the last of four things. Don't make it happen first. That's too much work. We got some other stuff to think about first, like chilling and like what matters today and all of that. So there's nothing wrong with making it happen, but order, maybe don't yell it at yourself like right when you get up in the morning through colorful paper. That just feels like a lot of pressure.
With a cute arrow.
And, yeah. I know. I mean, it's adorable. It's an adorable notepad and I would super dupe use it. But
probably maybe, in the dollar section chill. Of Target. I don't know.
They get you there.
They do. Okay. And yes, we're talking about time management today, moms, because we're going to talk about why.
I mean, that's life, right? Isn't that what it is?
But I also love that you called it energy management. Or somebody you quoted called it energy management, which feels better.
It does feel better. Yeah, that was Kate Northrup, who wrote a book called Do Less. I believe that's the name of her book. And she's
Make it
like
happen
a,
or do less. Less.
Yeah, yeah, or that. That's good too. Yeah, she wrote a book that focuses a lot on energy, especially like hormonal energy. But when I read that phrase in her book, and this was several years ago, like, oh, we focus so much on managing time, but we also need to manage our energy. And I think we need to manage things like expectations. And there's lots of other things other than time that need to be thought about and managed and kind of like put in their proper place. Because if it's just time, if that's all we think about, we're just going to stay stressed out because there's more to manage than that.
And this is what makes your book great, because I'll tell you how many books I've read on time management. Zero. I've read zero books. But you point out, what's your stat on how many books were written by women for time management?
7%. So okay. 93% of books on time management and productivity are written by men.
We're just pausing.
I was going to say, that's an important pregnant pause.
So important.
Necessary pause. Yeah, that's a startling statistic. And even some of the time management books that are written by women, because I'm the opposite of you. I feel like I've read every single book that's written.
Oh my gosh. There are people listening that are more like me, and there are gonna be people like you that have read the 93% and they're holding themselves up to an impossible standard.
It's the worst. Yeah. So of even the ones that are written by women, it's sort of like it's either this is a generalization,
right?
But the tendency of books written by women in this genre are either this is what I do, this is how I structure my day, and this works for me. Now they don't necessarily say it that way, but that's really kind of what it is. It's like this is what has worked for me, and that's true. We all experience that if we find a snack at Trader Joe's or a skincare thing or a way that we manage a meal plan, or like we always want to tell all the people if it works for us. We're like, look at this thing. And we forget that not everything works for everyone, that our enthusiasm is such that makes that other person be like, I guess I need to use CC cream now. And I never have before, but she said it was great. So, okay. So I think that's one of the vibes of time management books written by women is this is how it's worked for me. Maybe it'll work for you. There's a place for that for sure. And then the other one is kind of like, it's books that are helping us figure out how to manage things like in the cracks. And I'm like, I think the whole house is broken, y'all. I don't want to manage in the cracks. Like, can we build a house where there are no cracks? Can we manage our time and approach time and expectations and energy and what it means to be a woman in particular when it comes to doing all of this and living life? Can we actually build a new house where we're not trying to do what we need in the cracks? That just feels like a bummer. So this is a paradigm shift book, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all open it and you're like, okay, she's going to give me 3 steps in the first chapter on what I need to do with my calendar and my planner. This is not that book.
No. Nope.
But the first half is a new way to see, is how you describe it. A new way to see, a new way to build the house, a new way to kind of take a deep breath, reset expectations. Because you're right, like for women, I think in particular, there's the actual load, like the actual things. You have 3 children, I have 4 children.
3 now, 1 in college, whatever. Aww. We're not gonna talk about it.
But we have a lot of people that have to get food, and we have actual things.
Yeah.
And then we have the mental things and the expectations of how those things are done and in what order and like how beautiful they are. Or I don't know. Like you said, things that maybe don't matter to us, but we feel like they should matter.
Should.
So maybe let's spend a tiny time on the new way to see. What are your favorite thoughts on that for the mom who's like, I mean, this is coming out in October, early October. So she's like a good maybe 6 weeks into this new schedule of kids maybe. Or
yep.
Man, the little ones, they're finally going to Mother's Day out or like. Right. So.
We actually, no joke, we actually chose the October 8th release date on purpose because it was it's in like one of the busiest times of the year, but it's in this little sliver in early October where you're like just far enough away from the stress of the beginning, but you're not quite into holiday chaos yet. Yeah. Because here's the thing. It's great if you buy the book. You have to read it though. And who has time for that? So I'm like, we can't put this out when no one has time to do anything. There's this little
You're like
sliver.
August 21st, like hold please. I have 7 school meetings.
That's right. That's not gonna work.
And all the women I didn't see over the summer want to get together for dinner. I have like 4 dinners this week.
Yeah, I'm like, look at that.
Sorry, fam.
That's right. That's right. So but
you're like, yes. Okay.
There's a season for the book launch. Yes. Okay. So let's talk about a new way to see. And I do want to say, I'm going to explain some of these new ways to see in this tiny time, but also it was essential for me as an author in writing this book, that this is not just like a rah-rah, you can do it book. There is parts of that. Like, I want you to feel like, all right, I'm doing all right. Good job. Like, there's a literal entire section of pep talks. Like, I really am super rah-rahing you. But if you think for a second that there is nothing practical in here, you are wrong. Like, this is both things. So yep. I want, as you hear me, because sometimes when I hear people who are like, and let me tell you how you need to feel about this, and it's only feelings, and I love them, but I'm like, can you also give me a list of 7 things? Can we do both? And I am giving you both. So just so you know, there are both things. We'll get to the practical things. So as far as the new way to see, there are 2 differences in this book and other time management books that you might read or don't read because you know what's in them and you're like, this is not for me. One of those things is that the goal of most books is some sort of greatness. It's mastery, it's optimization, efficiency at every turn. I don't know about everyone listening. That sounds exhausting. Mm-hmm. That is not a goal that I want to have. Nor
like
is
a machine. Like
exactly.
A machine optimizes.
It is a machine. Yes.
It's a robot. It's a, yeah.
And,
not a human.
And the reason that goal is foundational and has remained foundational for most of the books that have come before the one that I'm talking about now is that they are written by men. And men have, because of their lack of hormonal differences, they do not have the mental load that women do. I mean, we're hopefully moving in a direction where that is not the case as much, but like culturally, the expectation is not that men hold all the invisible labor of the home. And then also, if you're a male author, if you're an author, you don't have a boss probably. Like if you're writing books, you have a job, but you don't have a boss. So someone who doesn't have a boss or hormones or who runs their home is telling you how to manage your time. Are you kidding me right now? Those are 3 very important pieces of information. So that's one thing that has allowed for greatness to be and mastery to exist for so long in this conversation, because men have a closer relationship to being able to accomplish that because their lives are more regulated and repetitive in many ways. There's more space for that.
And so again, that's a generalization, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Big generalization. So then another big generalization is just that we live in a capitalistic, patriarchal country. And the literal American dream is to hustle and to strive for your potential.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that in the right context. Like, I think greatness, if you are an Olympic athlete, that's the whole thing, is you're trying to be the best by 1/100th of a second.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So that takes a different kind of dedication. But like, if you're home with your 2 children and you're just trying to feed everyone and love people well and like be a reasonable, like not be a shell of a human by the end of the day on most days, you don't need to put forth Olympic level greatness effort. That is not a reasonable goal. Yeah. So the difference here with this book is the goal of our time management conversation is not greatness. It is integration. It is that you are a whole grounded person who is kind to yourself no matter your circumstances. Yeah. It is time management. It's a wild concept, you guys. It is time management independent of your time. Independent of what is happening. You start with being kind to who you are now and staying grounded in that place. Staying grounded is better than staying on task. That being kind to a kid, being like if you're trying to leave the house, and a kid dumps their juice on the floor and you could just leave the juice. But like then you would come home to another set of problems probably. So it is something to tend to. for me to say staying grounded is more important than staying on task, as you're like hustling to get the paper towels really quickly and clean it up. And you're like, I told you to put the cap on and like, we have to go. Why didn't you listen to me when I said to finish your breakfast earlier? That is not staying grounded. That is not staying connected to your child. Now, do we all do that? Yes. Did I do that this morning when my kid had the papers to sign as we're literally walking out the door for carpool? Of course. I'm not saying that we don't experience times where we are disconnected, where we make choices that we have to apologize for, where we're just humans, right? But to say to yourself, it's actually more important that when my kid dropped their juice, which we all drop things, that I look at them and say, oh, bummer. That's all right. Let's clean it up together real quick. Rather than stressing out because you were supposed to be out of the door by a certain time and now you're not. Staying grounded is more important than staying on task. And that's a whole different way of looking at our lives and how we manage our time. And
it feels like it's a deeper even work to then be okay.
Yes.
With the ramifications of that lateness, because yes, we do live in a society of be here by this time. Like, you have to get to school by a certain time. You have to get to work by a certain time. You have to have the Zoom meeting at a certain time. And it's like, oh, so sorry. I haven't logged on to the Zoom call. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Right.
There's a lot of other people's expectations of things happening in a clockworky way, mm-hmm, that we have to kind of free ourselves from finding identity and worth in other people thinking.
Right.
We might be a little bit of a flibberty gibbet. That's sure. My word. Sure. I am a flibberty gibbet.
I love that word, actually. And I think it feels really important to say, like, I love being on time. Like, it's my favorite. I love being on time. Okay. But what I think, looking at ourselves and our time this way does for us is it really helps us be compassionate for other people and sort of believe the best and people's best intentions, that if you are someone who values being on time and you are on time and you show up at the, you know, you're doing like a coffee shop play date where the toddlers are hanging out in the thing and you're not late and your friend is 10 minutes late, and maybe she's often 10 minutes late, rather than resenting her for being 10 minutes late often, you can go, it's hard to get out of the door and people get out of the door in different ways. And this does not make her less dependable or worthy or valuable, just like being on time doesn't make me more worthy or dependable or valuable. Like, there is this spectrum of how we live that is unfair and wrong. And I think it's morally wrong, but I also think it's like actually wrong. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, we all get to... We live in a culture that values certain things.
Yeah.
And if you don't align with that normative way of valuable time management or organization or mastery or whatever, then you are behind. You're doing it wrong. And that's just not correct. That is not correct. We can make a different way of seeing ourselves and our time and be kind to ourselves and each other in the process of that.
Yeah.
And then there's a second thing that's different about this book and other books is that the other books, they start with the future. Mm. They start with like, well, what do you want your life to look like in 20 years? And I'm kind of like, I have to look at my calendar to know what tomorrow is, sir.
Like, so real.
Can we not?
Like, when my mom asks you, like, what are you doing on Thursday? You're like, I got today. And I got maybe tomorrow, my mind wraps a little bit about round.
That's
if
right.
I look at it before I go to bed, I might be okay.
But. That's right. And I think that we need to honor that. Mm-hmm. I think that makes me want to cry even saying that. It's like, I think that is the primary energy that exists for moms. This is a show for moms. The book I wrote is not just for moms. It's for everyone. Yeah. It definitely will resonate with moms. But like, for the people listening right now, the productivity industry really does not honor how your life works. Mm-hmm. You can't think about what's happening in 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, and reverse engineer your greatest goals and break them down for today. That is just not reality. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to dream or have goals. You can or can't. There's full permission to have big dreams or small dreams or no dreams, just a dream to take a nap today. Like, it's totally, totally fine. But if you have a whole, like, shelves and shelves, thousands and thousands and thousands of books that the goal is mastery and greatness, and the place that they begin is the future, but you're just like, can I just be a person today?
Yeah.
Those systems are not going to work for you. You are going to read the books like I did and try to, like, MacGyver together the best pieces and parts that you can. And you're just, you know, you're like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins with all of his instruments on him. And you're like, I guess we're going to play a song with these things now. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to make it work because it's all right here. Or you ignore them completely. And that's kind of the lazy genius spectrum, right? Is that you try to be like, all right, well, I got to figure this out with the best tools that I have. So I'm going to be Dick Van Dyke with a one-man band walking around. Everything I do is multifaceted here, multitasking all the time. That's exhausting. Or you swing the other way, the full lazy way, where you're just like, messy hair, don't care. I don't care about a thing. Da-da-da-da. But actually, you do care about some things quite deeply, but you don't feel permission to care about those because you feel like it's all or nothing. Mm. And so you see what I mean? We need a different house. We need a different house. We've been living in the wrong house.
And I think for moms, like, if I could sit down and plan out my energy, my time, my list, and I'm the only factor, done.
Oh my goodness. What a world.
What a world. But the moms listening are like, I remember the day when, like, it's nap time and, like, someone upstairs says I pooped and then this diaper falls down from the ceiling to the first floor and the kid's running in circles around, and I'm like, don't step in the poop, and I'm holding a baby on my hip, and then, like, that's nap time.
So that's nap time.
Yeah,
like, that's
what
right.
If I had a, I mean, I wasn't on, there wasn't Zoom back then, but, like, what if a Zoom starts in 15 minutes and I gotta clean the poop and I gotta put the kids in, and, like, chaos. This is not time management where I am the only boss in the situation.
Right, right.
We have to be bendy. We have to be flexible.
Yes.
We have to adapt because we have, you know, or rando call from the kid that's, you got to pick them up from the school because they're sick, or, like,
right, right.
Our toilet's running. I'm like, okay, Bruce, like, order the plumbing kit. Okay, I'm going to order the plumbing kit. I have a new to-do item. You know what I mean? Like,
I do. It never stops.
It's not like a fixed plan that we can just be like, work the plan. I am master of plan.
Do you remember when you went to the mall?
Oh, yes.
And you would get your Cinnabon and you would, like, walk around and go to the jewelry store and all the things and Bath and Body Works. But you would pass the big sign of the map of the mall, right? Yeah. And it had the entire layout. It had all the stores categorized. And then it had a big old red dot that said, you are here. Mm-hmm. And I loved that thing. And also, I think we try to make our lives look like that thing, that we see everything at once. This is here. This is here. This is here. Done. This is where I am. And we're off. Here is our path. And that is not reality. That is not reality. That doesn't mean that you are always reacting. You know, there is a place, that's what the plan, this book teaches you to do, that there are things that you can create for yourself. There are very kind, simple structures where you start small with one thing and you build on them over time and you iterate and you adjust and you notice what's working and you kind of are very human in the process of it. Because we are not robots. Our lives are not a machine that we build and then we press a big red start button. That is not how this works. But that is how the industry sort of teaches us that it's supposed to work. So if it's not working that way, then you're the problem and you're not the problem. You're not the problem, everybody. You're not the problem.
Big sis Kendra says it. It's true. So we've talked about it's integration or groundedness over greatness. You have an acronym. I mean, you're the queen of acronyms.
I love acronyms. Spade is spade. I love them.
Let's go spade is spade. Does a letter stand for something? Yes, it does.
It does.
And plan stands for something. And then you get all fancy and then you make it Napple. And then you just, I'm waiting for Applin. I'm just, take the letters, mix them up. Who cares if it actually spells something?
No, I did. I did do Napple at one point. I know.
So tell us. I mean, we're going to
tell
get
you
to
about
some
the acronym.
Like, promise.
Yes,
we
yes,
are.
Yes,
we
yes.
are.
Okay. So here is, I want everyone to imagine for a moment you are going to kind of a stereotypical, this is hilarious as I'm saying this to you, Heather, who has just been like, I don't read these books, but let's pretend like you're going to like a mom's conference workshop, not a conference, but like a workshop that's teaching you how to manage your time. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is heavily focused on your preparation, right? On what you're doing before the thing happens, on the systems that you need to build ahead of time. And there is nothing wrong with those things. Those things need to exist. But here is the problem. No one has left us room for the other parts of life, like living, like adjusting what's working, having to adjust because a kid drops a diaper from the ceiling and you're like, well, that didn't go great. We got to do something different now. We got to adjust.
There's a naked poopy butt running around. That's all you need to know.
This feels like this is an urgent situation. Like we do have to pivot to this, right? This is a reasonable pivot.
We do. We have to adjust. For sure.
And then we also want to be present enough that we're noticing how we're doing, how a kid might be doing, what's sort of working. Like, oh, I created this system. Have I actually looked at this in a while? Did I start the summer writing out a chore chart on a whiteboard in the kitchen? And then as I was doing, this is a real story, the beginning of the summer, I'm writing a chore chart in the kitchen.
Bless your sweetheart.
Because I'm like, here we go. We got it. We're doing it. We're doing it. Every summer, we're doing it. And then my oldest walks in and he's been with me the longest. He's almost 15. He is a very direct speaker. And he said, Mom, why are you doing that? We're going to quit it in a week anyway.
Truth and I was like, yeah.
Dude, he is so right. This is such a waste of time. We're not – so because this is too big. This system that I'm building is too big. And so anyway, I say all that to say PLAN is an acronym. Prepare, live, adjust, and notice. And when you do all four of those on the foundation of the season of life that you're in and what matters right now where you are, and you do those four things equally, this is not a linear acronym where you prepare and then you live and then you adjust and then you – no, that's robot energy. We're not doing robot energy. It's actually a pyramid. There's like a picture in the
book. I'm doing my hands.
Yes, she's doing a pyramid.
It's a plan. Make a pyramid.
That's okay. Right. It's a plan pyramid. Technically, it's a tetrahedron.
Okay.
But I plan tetrahedron sounds dumb. So plan pyramid. The base of this pyramid is what matters right now in the season that you're in. That is the foundation of everything. Because if you try to make decisions that are independent of the fact that you are in a season of life where poopy diapers fall from the ceiling, you are already going to be distracted, discontent, yeah, overwhelmed, all of it. You have to name the season that you're in and name what matters where you are, okay? Then, so that's the foundation. Imagine it's a triangle foundation, right? Then the three sides of the pyramid are prepare, adjust, and notice. And you do all of those with equal energy. Preparation does not get a bigger side because then your pyramid will fall over. They work in equal measure. You notice and you adjust. The value, you guys, the value of adjusting something small. It's like we've been taught that, yeah, it's set it and forget it. And so if you set something and then you adjust it, that means you did it wrong to start with. And that is trash. That is not true at all. Adjusting is an equal part of the process, just like preparation is. So the three sides of that pyramid are prepare, adjust, and notice. And then the point of the pyramid, both mathematically and theoretically, is to live. It's to live. That's our whole point here. It is not to serve an invisible future. That is not the point.
Or for personal greatness.
Exactly. The point is to be who you are as you are today. That is the literal point of all of this. And that's where you start. Again, it's not that you can't have goals or ambitions or like want to be great at something. It's not that greatness as a whole is bad. Like if you, like I want to be a great author. Like that matters to me.
Kendra, you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was not like a backhanded compliment there.
Yeah, no. But that's a goal that you would put energy towards.
Absolutely.
Like it's not like you're sitting back, like you said, and going the lazy route and you're just like not going to do anything.
Right.
You have a desire to live this out.
Absolutely.
This yeah.
But if I begin the setup of my days and begin with a posture in my soul of, I have to be a great author. I have to be a great author. I have to be a great author. I'm not going to be a great author, and I'm not going to be great at anything. I'm not going to be good at anything. I'm not going to be present anywhere because I'm so focused on an invisible future that I really cannot control. So instead, when people ask me, you know, it's a question when you're like launching a book behind the scenes, it's like, okay, so what's your goal here? What are your goals for this book launch? And, and my goal always, my primary goal always has been when it gets done, when it's all over, I still want to feel like myself. Mm. I don't want to have to take a 2-week vacation because I ran myself into the ground. I just don't want to do that. The success of this book, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to spend time in appropriate ways, and I'm going to show up and I'm going to do my job. But I'm not going to, my book being 3 slots higher on the Amazon bestseller list or whatever at the expense of myself.
Yeah.
That's not worth it. I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. So we start with who we are, where we are. And then when everything flows from that and we have this equal sharing of energy, of permission to not just prepare, but to also adjust things and to notice how things are going in the moment and being present where we are and paying attention to the season we're living in. Like that's the house. That's the house. Because you're not actually trying to fit things into cracks, because most of the time the things that we're trying to, that are taking up space don't matter as much in the season that you're living in. Or you can recognize like, man, I don't have help. Like if you're a single mom, that is so hard. And if someone is telling you that you have to have that life machine where you press the button and everything goes, and you're like, I can't even get through one day without something, without a metaphorical or literal poopy diaper falling from the ceiling, then you feel like you're doing it wrong. And I'm telling you, you're not doing it wrong. They've built the wrong house. And it's the only set of houses. It's like one subdivision. It's one neighborhood that we've all been living in from a time management perspective. And I'm just like, hey, no, we've got a different house we can live in. And there's just such it's a deep breath. It's contentment. It's time management that's oriented around contentment.
Yeah.
Not complacency, not settling, not caring.
Yeah. Or comparing and falling short of, which is what we can do, like for the mom, that this isn't the season to rinse all your vegetables in vinegar and put them in cute little containers in the fridge that the Instagram told you if you're going to prep your week
for your family. Right, that's right. You got to do that.
Better do it.
I know. And it's let's be real. It is great content. When I am, every time it comes through, I'm like, it is. It's
all the
so
sound,
satisfying.
The ASMR.
Yeah, it's so satisfying. But you're right.
Everything
it's like
place.
You don't have to do that. It's not that that choice is wrong for everyone.
No, that person's not a problem.
She's not a problem at all.
Let her be. Let the home edit people edit all the homes. maybe that's
I want that on her shirt.
And edit all the homes. But it's better too than, and this is where I struggle because I will, my method currently is I look at my day. I look at the fixed items on my day. This child has to be at this school this time. I have an interview with Kendra at this time. This child needs to be picked up. I have this meet up. And then I put a list of all my to-dos, and then I try to plug them into the spots that I have chunks of time.
Yep.
But it's still a to-do list. And I love that you're like, there's a better to-do list. So we have a few minutes. We have about eight minutes. Might give you 10. You have a lighten the load framework that I would love for you to kind of move us into like some practical, like, and you kind of say it creates a decision queue versus a to-do. Like this is more than just check some things off, because we can sometimes make ill-fitting to-dos.
We can
make them say something like, make the house better.
Right.
That's what mine would say right now.
Yeah.
And there's like so many layers. There's like decluttering, and then there's like actual things need to be fixed, and design decisions need to be made, and things need to be purchased. Like there's like 25,000 to-dos under make the house better.
It's so many things. And my biggest, honestly, let's say we had 60 seconds and you were like, what's your biggest to-do list tip?
Hack.
I would say don't put projects on your to-do list. Recognize what is a project. If something has multiple pieces and parts, if it has more than one decision or action, it's too big to be on a to-do list.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, right there, that could change your to-do list. Because here's the other thing.
Yeah.
I believe, there's no data to support this. This is completely emotional and anecdotal, but I believe that the energy of your to-do list rises to the level of the most difficult thing on it. So if you look at your list and it says make the house better alongside, you know, pay the electricity bill or sign the form or whatever, you're going to be like, well, I'm just not getting anything. Like it's deflating at the gate.
It's like learned helplessness. It's kind of like, oh gosh, well, I guess I can't do anything.
Oh, well, ho-hum. And now we're back to the lazy side of things where you don't care anymore, even though you really do care. Okay. So
fix it.
Yes. Fix it. That's my biggest like to-do list tip is don't put notice if you're writing a project on your to-do list and just maybe move it separate. Move it to a different part of the notepad.
It needs its own book.
It needs its own little column. Well, and that's the other thing. So the light and the load framework, there's a whole chapter in the book about it. And if I were to explain sort of every part in sequence, one might actually be overwhelmed because if you look at it as a complete system that you have to do every part in order for it to work, then you might be overwhelmed. I've been building this system almost my entire adult life. And so it's an intuitive thing that I had to sort of name. What's great about it, though, is you could take one part of it and you start to apply it to your own list and it's going to make a difference. So in sort of explaining some of these things, you know, but here's the gist of the light and the load framework. So there's four steps here. And begin, it's like an imagination station here. Begin with your most overwhelmed brain and you're just like, I just have too much to do. I have too much to do. Okay. Which could be feeling like paralyzing. That every day. Yes. It's a paralyzing feeling. Mm-hmm. So start when you have that energy. Here's the order. And we go in the right order as lazy geniuses because the order really does matter a lot of times. It's not that you're doing the wrong things. You just might be going in the wrong order, like the notepad where you're chilling at the end. Well, you might be too tired to chill at all. So we need to make chilling earlier. Okay. So here's your order. You make it visible, make it matter, make it smaller, and then make it happen. Yeah. If you start with make it and you look at your whole list or it's in your head or you're like, how? What do you mean? How do we? And then you're just, again, you're paralyzed.
Yeah.
So I like to start with making it visible. If you are feeling overwhelmed, this is why I love a good brain dump. I love getting out a big old piece of paper and just being like, what's going on? What's on my mind? Just get it all out there. Put it in its place. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that is not your to-do list.
No, man.
Please, everyone. That is not your to-do list, okay? What you do from that is you pull out what matters most. You make it matter. Or you decide, you know what, this actually doesn't matter that much. Or I could give this to someone else to do. Or this could wait for later or, you know, whatever. And then you make it smaller. You make those items smaller. If you notice like, oh, that's a project. Like, friends, listen to me right now. If you write, buy Christmas presents on your to-do list, I would like to come to your home and give you a big hug and then a really giant pep talk that is a terrible, terrible decision. Do you know how many decisions and tasks are under that? But that's what we write on our to-do list is get Christmas presents or get ready for school.
Oh, man.
Or buy school supplies. And you're like, but do we have all the lists? Are we going together? Are we waiting till after open house? Do we have anything already in the house that we could use? There are so many things that are too big to be on our to-do list, which is why make it smaller is on there. And then you can make it happen. Then you make it happen. Once you have these smaller pieces, it's easier to make it happen. I think that there are a couple of different kind of approaches, I guess, to making it happen and putting things in their place. And this is why if you just hear me talk about it, you're like, oh, it's another set of four things. Oh, no. But if you're reading the chapter, you're like, oh, I get it. But like there are four different ways that you can organize your to-do list in order to make it happen. If you organize it by urgency, I call that now, soon, later, never mind. So you look at your list and you go, okay, what's now? Now doesn't have to be in this exact moment or even today, but it's the first part, right? Yeah. It gives you freedom that if a poopy diaper falls from the ceiling, that if something doesn't happen today, that that's okay. Now can also be tomorrow. It's just wherever you are, okay? So now, soon, later, never mind. It's like it's triaged by urgency. Yeah. The second one is called what's in the tank, and that's organized by energy. If you are on your period,
I was just going to say, listen, y'all, there's a whole chapter on your period. How many time management books? How many?
No, not many at all.
I will tell you, on the Don't Mom Alone podcast, we did do a whole episode with Mary Van Geffen on parenting based on your cycle.
Yeah.
Because same kind of thing, same kind of energy. There's certain parts of your monthly cycle you should not be correcting behavior.
Right.
Not the best matchup.
That's right.
Same. Yes. And I really loved this chapter of yours. Like, even I will say though, I was in my menstrual phase, which is you compared to like the winter season.
Yes.
Which is great how it all lines up. The four parts.
It's wonderful.
That's great. Was the move-in day for my son to college. TMI. Y'all. TMI.
No.
The day you want to be in bed with your jammies, with a hot tea and a book. I am moving my oldest child into college.
Which it's is already exhausting. Emotionally exhausting.
Emotionally exhausting. I mean, there were all these like things that could go wrong because I've never done this before.
Right.
So it's great to notice your energy that happens with cycling. But at the same time, there are things I can't be like, hey guys, can we push this back? Just 1 week, I'll be in a lot better place.
That's right.
If we could just sign him up. Right. I know you'll miss rush and it's fine.
Right. Right.
So our parts of our lives we can control and we can't control.
That's absolutely right.
There.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad that you mentioned that because it's you can try if you have the ability.
Yeah.
For something. Yes. If it's within your control and ability to move something that is a little bit more like detail oriented into a time where you're already going to be naturally detail oriented.
And what's that time?
The detail oriented is, well, there's some in the luteal phase, but like I think about one of my favorite sort of examples of paying attention to your energy is when you're ovulating, because like biologically, this is when you're like, I am ready to reproduce. Let's do this. And so you are just at your fullest self. You're like, here I am, let's do it. And it's not
magnetic.
That you're like, yes, it's not that you are a different person or that you walk into a room loud. It's that you are your truest, deepest self, that you are confident in who you are. And so that's why I'm like, hey, ladies, because that's not something that we sort of experience or told it is okay very often to like embrace when we're feeling the most ourselves and the most confident in ourselves. But like, if you're ovulating, and you're like, man, I wish I was going out with somebody tonight. I wish I was going to get – having one of those dinners with all my friends.
A girl's night. Yeah.
Move the girl's dinner. If you're able to move the girl's – or just start or a spontaneous one. Exactly. Hey, guys, I'm going to whatever. We're going to get dinner. 6 o'clock. Who's coming? You know, like – but if you are menstruating and you're like bedtime and you look at your calendar and you have 4 girl dinners that week – you got to tell some of those girls you can't come.
Yeah.
Or to be like, hey, can y'all bring dinner to my room? Can you come sit on my couch with me? We could do that.
Out night. Yeah.
Watch a Drew Barrymore movie. If you can pay attention to your energy, do it. Okay. Second one, I'll do this fast. The third one, the type of to-do list organization you can have from your big list is all together now. I call it all together now, which is kind of batching. It's organizing things by similarity. Because if you have, I will say, the smaller you make your tasks, the more you're probably going to have. Now, they're very doable and check-offable, but depending on the busyness of your day or season of life, you may look at the 20 things that you just wrote down that are, again, doable, but it's like, that's so many things. Mm-hmm. But when you go, these are the phone calls I need to make. These are the errands I need to run. Mm-hmm. These are the returns that I'm making. These are the decisions that I have to make that require me to talk to someone else first. If you group things by similarity, suddenly it's much more manageable.
Yeah, I love that.
And then the fourth one is pick one, which is a to-do list that is organized around your humanity. If you're like, I don't know, or I don't have the energy for anything, or you're worried, like, what's the right thing to do right now? I don't know what's urgent. Just pick one. It's okay. And you know what you could pick? Nothing. You could pick, I can't right now. You could have chronic illness. You could have been hit with grief. You could have had one too many poopy diapers fall from the ceiling that day. And you're like,
your
you know what? I'm out.
Your son might have gone to college.
Your son might have gone to college.
He just sat in his room. One of my friends, she just laid in his bed.
Oh my
gosh. Cried.
Of course. Like, we have to leave.
Yeah.
Time management systems don't leave room for life.
This. Yeah.
And you have to have, that's the whole point. That's the whole point, is being present in your life.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Y'all got to get the book. I mean, and listen to Kendra's podcast.
Well, that's very kind. Like, but no, I do want you to.
She's cranking out this kind of content, y'all.
I do want you to get the book just because, like, if you never hear me say any word again, truly, this book is, this sounds very dramatic, and I'm trying to not give that disclaimer every time I say it in a safe place. But like, I feel like this book was why I was, my life is the way it has been and why I'm on this earth. I'm not kidding. Like it was such a spiritual experience. It felt very ordained. And I feel as though this is a message that is so deeply needed and no one is saying. And I feel really honored and humbled to have the sort of the mix of like, big sister energy. I'm gifted at systems and lists and making complicated things simpler and make sense. But I also have been through a lot of trauma and therapy and difficulty in my life that brings in this huge undercurrent of kindness and compassion. And I'm just like, I'm itching for women especially to get this book because it is not what you think it is. It is not another time management book that's going to make you feel bad at the end. It's because we don't need any more of that. We need to feel like who we are, where we are is okay and good and valuable. And still then from there have tools to like, okay, well, let's try to get some stuff done. But if I don't, I didn't break a promise to myself that I was going to keep this system going or, you know, that you don't make yourself feel bad at the end of the day, like that you are who you are as you are right now. And that's a beautiful place to start.
Love it. I love it. And I think for moms whose lives are full of things that go unseen, it can just be a reassurance that it's not wasted time because it's not productive time.
That's right.
Visibly productive. They aren't doing something that adds up to something that people can see. They are making humans into better people, but hey, that's undervalued in our society as well. So,
right.
Thank you, Kendra.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for creating this. Thanks for being on here. Never enough time, but it's fine. Wanting more to be with someone is better than the opposite, okay?
That's fair. I'll take that.
I would rather that. So thank you. Y'all, we'll link to everything. You know the drill. I'm blessings over the whole launch.
Thank you.
It's exciting.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I hope this got your brain working a little bit towards a solution for your own life. I always love people who come on and are like, what will work for you? And maybe it's you need to spend time with God and you need to ask him, what are main goals and what should be my focus right now? And maybe filter out your days and your plan based on what he brings to mind. Maybe there's a tool that Kendra brought up that you'd like to implement. Make a plan for that. Sit with God and say, what was for me from this episode? What's not for me? Am I letting tasks be the main goal instead of compassion and kindness towards others? Am I letting other people's drivers of success be my drivers of success? So I hope that can be helpful. I'm going to pray for us right now. Lord, I know time is a construct that you are not bound by. And I pray, Lord, that although we live in a world that time is important and that it determines a lot of things, I pray that we could be tethered to your spirit and we could know when what seems like an emergency actually isn't, that you could help us focus in on what you're seeing is valuable in this current season for us, this space, this time, and what to put our gifts and talents and energy towards. I pray that we would be just really connected to you, connected to others, connected to our kids, so that your kingdom could come, so that we could put your plans first in our hearts and minds, and that there would be peace. Yes, life is full, but Lord, that we could have peace in the midst of it, that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I am reaching out for your help. It is my 500th episode coming up in just 2 months. And while that's just a number, and actually we probably released 500 episodes, we just haven't numbered them 500. I have reached out to my Don't Mom Alone email people. And one gal, Heather, such a good name, she had a good idea. She said, what if you invite listeners to call in and share one change they've made in their lives that's helped them not mom alone, and maybe share those clips so y'all can learn from each other. She said she heard recently it takes 164 hours together to make close friends in adulthood. And she said that can be both encouraging and discouraging, validating that, wow, this is why it's so hard. And also like, how am I going to spend 164 hours with someone? So she'd love to hear people's ideas. Maybe it's a friend who has decorating gifts and you go shopping for home decor with them, or you start a monthly hiking, biking group for moms right after school drop-off time. She said she did that and she had her first biking trip and three ladies showed up and it was great. So if you've done things like that, or maybe it's another change you've made based on a guest that you've heard, I'd love to hear those. If you could just call this phone number and leave a voice message like you would anytime, it's 972-863-1229. To call that number, you'll get a little message from me. You leave a voicemail, and basically by doing that, you're being okay that we will maybe share it in the 500th episode. Would love to hear from you. Thanks, y'all, for joining me. Thanks for sharing with your friends, leaving reviews. All that helps. I will see you back here next week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.